Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When you know, you start off, you take your baby steps, and you're learning. And I would see things about people, and I'd tell them straight out truth. You know, put that mirror up. But I wouldn't do it with mercy and grace and love and compassion. It was like, you know, you're a mess, and you need, you know, and the Lord told me that if you'll stop doing blah, 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 it'll, you know, you'll change. And leave them bleeding and cut open and not doing it in a nice way. Well, people don't receive that very well. So, been my experience. And so, in fact, I was talking with one lady in my neighborhood, and I was, you know, and then I said, but I know your pain, you know. And she says, how do you know anything? You've never been through anything. And she said, you're such a Pollyanna. And I thought, I come across as a Pollyanna? Okay. But anyway.
If they only knew, right? If they only knew.
She didn't receive the word I had for her, though. And I was like, wow, you know. So you learn to temper it, and you learn as you go along, you know, and it helps with real people that love you, that will speak to you about it and tell you the truth. Like, you need to get soft about these things and approach people differently and stuff. So that was my experience.
So speaking of learning, today we're going to learn about quantum mechanics. You know, there are basically two kinds of particles. There are bosons and fermions. Bosons include photons. You know, they carry energy like light.
Do we have
gluons? Are bosons. They think that if they ever discover a graviton, that'll be a boson as well. Just a minute. Is anybody following me so far? Okay. So this is how I feel sometimes in prayer ministry. Is I know the Holy Spirit is trying to explain something to me, but I just can't get it. I'm just not understanding what he's trying to say. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 53 years ago, and I've been praying for people most of that time. Debbie and I have been married 41 years. We've been praying for people together for that length of time, and we still feel like novices because we're just learners along the way. We're learning all the time. And so I want to give you a framework that has at least helped me a little bit in understanding healing. This is not thus saith the Lord. This is what it looks like to me, is that there are five kinds of healing, and we're going to try to give you some examples of each of those. The first kind of healing is spiritual healing. That is mostly related to forgiveness. As a matter of fact, when somebody gets saved, that's the ultimate spiritual healing. They've been forgiven by the Lord. But when we need to forgive someone else, we probably need spiritual healing. Even healing of relationships, I think, is a type of spiritual healing. Next is just physical healing. We talked about a lot of that yesterday, praying for someone that something is physically wrong and God heals them. The third kind of healing is inner healing, where there has been a trauma in your life, something, there's a hurt stuck down on the inside that God needs to take care of and God needs to heal. And oftentimes, those traumas, I think about 90% of the inner healing that folks need come from a trauma in their life, and almost every one of those traumas involves probably a sin on their part, especially in how they understood it, but it usually involves a lie as well. Like the kids, the 7-year-old, when the parent gets divorced, is certain it was their fault. When, of course, it's not their fault. But that was the lie they believed. And a lot of times, just understanding the lie and understanding the truth that is supposed to be there turns around and sets folks free in that inner healing area. There's also what I think some have called inner healing, that to me is different, and that is healing from destructive emotions. Things happen to us, and destructive emotions like fear, or like what Bishop was talking about earlier today, guilt, shame, condemnation, those kind of things get stuck down on the inside of us. Often they get stuck there as a part of a memory of some kind. And so in a way, it's God healing the memory. He doesn't take the memory away, but he takes away that destructive emotion that got stuck to the memory. And it literally is a healing process, as we've seen. We'll talk about that. And then the fifth kind of healing is deliverance healing, where we're dealing with demonic spirits or demonic influence. And I want to start there with a couple of stories, because for most people, they feel like deliverance ministry is the scariest, the most difficult kind to work with.
Started out that way with me.
When really it's just the opposite. Dealing with evil spirits is the easiest thing we have to deal with, because we have all authority and all power over all evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Mm. And they're really quite easy to deal with. We shouldn't be afraid of them. Why don't you tell a little bit about your baptism and deliverance?
Happy Church. We went to Happy Church, and that was Wally and Marilyn Hickey's ministry in Denver, Colorado. Wally and Marilyn Hickey, and they had a deliverance thing going on in the church. And I had just met Dan. We weren't even married yet, I don't think. And I was like, he's taking me to this service. I've never seen anything like this in my life. People are being thrown down in the front and screaming and doing all this stuff. And so I heard a voice of a girl that it sounded familiar to me, and I thought, well, I know that person. I wonder what's going on. So I went outside to see, and it was like the parting of the waters. All these people that were praying for this girl just kind of parted when I came out, and they're like, here she is, and I'm, well, what the heck do I do with it? So I tried doing what they were doing up front, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be quiet. And so she got quiet. And then she started up again, and I said, and I was starting to pick her up, and she got strong and was practically ripped my arm out, and I said, in the name of Jesus, stop, and I just kept doing that until I got her into the church, and I threw her down in the front and went back to my seat. I said, they're gonna deal with this, but I didn't know what I was doing, because I'd just gone out there to see who that was. So it was like the Lord started just having people,
an accelerator program,
come into my path, and they would just start growling and spitting and hissing and doing all this stuff in front of me, and in the store, in the, one time we were in a movie theater, and this kid's just...
Here we go. We're going to go watch the movie, right?
We got stuck in New Orleans because Dan was a new pilot, and he didn't have his commercial license yet, so you get stuck with weather. And we couldn't get out, so we went to the movies. This boy's sitting in front of us. His mother is just slapping the heck out of him. I don't know what he was doing, but she was just...
He was acting out something.
And the lights were still on a little dim. And I stood up. I realized what was going on.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
And he's going, what are you doing?
Over there, lay hands on this kid. What are you doing?
So I said, and then he realized what was going on. So I laid my hands on him, and she didn't look around. He didn't look around. I was like in this bubble of invisibility. Nobody saw me doing this. And nobody was looking at me, but I just prayed, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be quiet. Be at peace. And devil come out of him in the name of Jesus. And he just went limp, in his seat. And the mother didn't turn around or anything. She quit hitting him. And we watched the movie. And so, but these people at church were saying, well, that wasn't right to do that. You delivered him, and then what happens to him? Because seven worse than the first can come into him, And I said, well, I did pray that people would come along in his path, that he and his mother would find a church, that, there wasn't anything I could do for him at that point, except pray for him. So anyway, people are real quick to judge other people in their ministry.
Don't cast that demon out. There might be children nearby, and the demon will go into that. Look, demons are going to go into those children if they want to. anyway. You need to deal, if the demon manifests around you, deal with it, okay? And let the Lord worry about the rest.
And then, and one other quick story. There was a woman, Holy Hubert, was at a church, and his wife was down in the lobby, and she's real unkempt, and her slip's showing, and her, she's just, I was down there getting coffee ready or something, and she's saying, you know, coffee's of the devil. And I said, really? Okay. And she, and then she started growling at me, and the Lord said, cast,
following
me around the lobby, and the Lord said, cast the devil out of her. And I said, well, if I do that, maybe the spirits will come out and go into the children in the nursery. I had all this wrong thinking, you know, going on, and so I didn't do anything about it. And then church was dismissed, and everybody's out there, and she's still following me around, growling and hissing. And Dan noticed it, and I was like, but I didn't do anything about it. And the Lord told me a few months later, I'll never forget it, it was on a Sunday morning, he said, remember that woman? And I said, yes. And he said, why didn't you pray for her to be delivered? And I said, because, you know, I had all these thoughts. He said, well, I didn't say that. And he said, when anybody manifests in front of you, you deal with it. And so from then on, I started doing it, you know, delivering people from demons. But there's a difference between, by the way, demon possession and demon oppression.
We've encountered very few people, especially
that are really
here in the
demon
United
possessed.
States, that are truly demon possessed.
Yeah.
Most folks are just demonized. That's a to me one of the great words. Are they demon oppressed?
Mm-hmm.
We got a call one evening from a lady in our church. She had been called by a friend of hers that was living in Germany at the time, and this person was having trouble with demonic attacks at night when she'd try to sleep. And so this lady got her on the phone, called us, so we got four people, all of us on the phone together, right, for this lady that's demon-oppressed. And she began to describe the situation, and she was being oppressed by what I think would be called an incubus spirit, because it was attacking her in a sexual way. And it was not only an emotional attack and oppression, but
physical.
She could feel it physically, especially when she would try to go to bed. And this poor woman hadn't been able to sleep more than just a few minutes at a time for weeks, and she was in great distress, didn't know what to do. And we realized, oh, this is an evil spirit. It's attacking you. And so we prayed over her and drove that evil spirit away, broke all the bondages, and you know, some of the other things that you might do. And after we did that, then Debbie took some time and I helped, where we explained to her
how to keep it away.
Yeah, what her authority was in the name of Jesus, that you don't have to let this kind of thing attack you or bother you at all. Mm. And then the Lord spoke a word of knowledge that this spirit was going to be persistent and it was going to try to come back. And in a few days, probably about a week, it was going to try to come back. And when that happens, you need to drive it off in the name of Jesus. And then it may be a couple of weeks after that, it may try again. And you just keep driving it off until it never comes back. And she said, okay. And sure enough, about a week later, this evil spirit began to attack her again. And she just told it, in the name of Jesus, you leave me and be gone. And it left, you know, like it's supposed to. Well, we heard a report then about that. We heard that she had been set free. We heard that by the way, that very night, that she got a full night's sleep, first full night's sleep she had had in a long time. She got a full night's sleep every night for that week, ran that spirit off, continued to get good sleep every night. And matter of fact, we just got the report that she got married, she's got a baby now. I mean, God has really done some great things in her life. And I was over the phone. You know, this authority of Jesus' name works everywhere, all the time. You have to be careful, though. It's real easy for us to to think we know what's going on, and to think we watch somebody and we think, oh, they're mentally ill, when maybe they're demonized. Or just the opposite. We think, oh, that's a demon. And it's not. There's a mental illness of some kind that's going on. Or sometimes it's even a combination of the two. And I really think that we can do more harm than good by trying to cast the demon out of somebody that's mentally ill. And so we have to listen. Lord, what is it? That's where this gift of discernment comes in. You have to be able to know, is this a human spirit we're dealing with, or an evil spirit? And if it is an evil spirit, what is it? Where did it come from? How do we deal with it? You will never, ever be smart enough or experienced enough to do that on your own. I mean, when the bishop talks about us being sheep, think about sheep. Sheep are absolutely, totally defenseless, right? In the spirit, we are absolutely, totally defenseless. We will always be that way. The only way we can do it is when Jesus living in us shows us how to deal with these things. Debbie and I were ministering in Scotland. Excuse me. We'd gone up to the Highlands. They told us, oh, if you go there, you got to go to this specific restaurant, get fish and chips. It's really great. Okay, we go into the restaurant. It's a big L-shaped counter, and two ladies back there making fish and chips and sandwiches and stuff. This is going to be great. And we go up there, and they take this person's order, and then they take this person's order, and then they take this other person's order, and maybe we're invisible. And we thought, well, maybe it's because we're Americans. Maybe they're speaking Gaelic, and we don't realize it. And pretty soon, some little old American woman comes up, and they come right up to her. She orders, and it's like we were invisible. We said, well, what's going on here, Lord? And the Lord said, pointed out one of the women, and said, she's demonized and she can't serve you because that demon won't let her serve you. Oh, okay. And so Debbie and I backed way off from the counter, busy place, noisy place. And very quietly, I prayed and I looked at this lady and I said, now in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I said that, I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you leave that woman. As soon as I said the word Satan, this lady was working on something. She looks up like this, like somebody called her name, and looks right at me. I told the enemy, you leave her and be gone from her in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. She went back down to her thing. As soon as she finished preparing that meal, she walked up to us, smiled real big, how can I help you? As if nothing had ever happened. You just have to have discernment, you know. The Holy Spirit has to tell you what's going on, even in the simple situations. Now, I know that's not exactly a big, highly charged deliverance healing, but it's an example of letting the Holy Spirit tell us what's going on. In the area of inner healing, we have seen God do some real miraculous, instantaneous inner healings. It's really been fun to watch and be fun to be part of. We went with the bishop to a healing conference and in a CEC church, and I think the conference started on a Friday night, and there was a young woman came up, late 20-somethings. She needed prayer. She said that I don't remember how she described what it was. This is the lady that had the racing thoughts. She didn't tell us that at the time. She just needed inner healing. She said emotional healing. We started asking her what was going on, and she said, well, my family has an incestuous situation. Me and my sister were molested. My younger sister is still being molested, and the family just kind of looks at this like this is the way things are supposed to be, and it was just causing all kinds of trouble and all kinds of dissension and contention.
Did you say this is in Brazil?
Mm-mm. Oh. No, this was a CC church in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember.
And so one of the things that the Lord did, led us to do, was to ask her to think about when this started. What was her first conscious memory of these kinds of things starting? And then we suggested to her that we're going to pray with you, and what we want you to do and what we're going to pray for is that the Lord will show you, either show you that scene, and in that scene show you either what Jesus was doing at the time or how Jesus saw that, or maybe a combination of the two. You know, let you see this scene not through the eyes of the little girl that's being molested, but through the eyes of Jesus. What did he see, and how did he react to this, and what was his understanding of what was going on? And so we prayed for her for a while, prayed in tongues, and pretty soon the Lord showed her a picture. I don't remember what it was, but it was a vivid picture to her that meant something to her. If you remember more, you can jump in. And all of a sudden, you could just see the revelation coming on her face. Oh, I didn't know that's what the Lord was thinking. And she began to see this in a whole new light. And so when we prayed for her then, we prayed for inner healing, that the Lord would touch her mind and heal those spots in her mind. But we also realized there's probably some demonic oppression going on here. I mean, you don't have that kind of situation usually without the enemy being just right in the middle of it. And so I felt like the Lord spoke that there were some familiar spirits, some spirits that had become familiar, had been around so long with that family and with her, and they were just hanging around her, bothering her all the time. And so we broke the connection with that evil, with those spirits, familiar spirits, and we drove them away in the name of Jesus. Told them to leave her, and went on to the praying for the next person. That was Friday night of the conference. So Sunday morning, there was, right before, after Eucharist, before we left, there was one last chance to pray for folks that needed things, and she came up to us for prayer for her back. And, okay, good. How can we pray for you? Oh, by the way, how are you doing? Well, I'm just empty. You know, like, uh-oh. Empty. Maybe after we prayed for you, you're empty. Yeah, oh yeah, right. It's great. For the first time in my life, I'm wondering what to think about. Instead of having these thoughts going over and over and over and over in my mind about what happened and what people did and how they did it and what I should have done and shouldn't have done and all of these things that just were going on and on in my mind all the time. They just left. And it's like, I got to think, well, now what do I think about? He said, oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. I mean, the Lord really said her, healed her back.
It was quiet.
Yeah, it was quiet. We went to another CEC church in the United States, another revival conference. Matter of fact, Raymond and Gloria went with us, and they prayed for some folks and saw some healings themselves there. But there was a lady came up to me, and how can I pray for you? I have a broken heart. Oh, okay, well, Jesus loves to fix broken hearts. What's going on? What happened? Well, her son had died 5 years before, and she just couldn't get over it. And she was just devastated, just crushed. Okay, and so we began to pray and let the Lord lead, and the Lord began to help her understand some of the things that were going on. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to her very clearly, not through me. I think I was praying for her by myself. It wasn't through me. It was as I was praying for her, I was praying that the Lord would reveal things to her about what was going on. And he did. And he revealed some things to her. And it was, you could see that her eyes just pop open like, oh, I didn't know that. And the Lord was just able to really touch and heal her heart down on the inside. We prayed, Lord, to heal her broken heart. And I don't know, that was maybe Friday night. Saturday night. And then so Sunday morning, we walk in and there she is. Well, how you doing? Oh, it was just huge. I mean, it was huge. It's just huge. That was the only thing she could say about what God had done, how he had mended her broken heart. Overnight. This wasn't 5 years of counseling. You know, this was Now, maybe we prayed together 30 minutes, you know, but that's okay. It was huge. But that's inner healing and the kinds of things that God can do with inner healing. I love Lazarus weekend stuff and love to watch because we have plenty of time to deal with all of the different kinds of things, the generational curses, all the different kinds of things that can be oppressing or affecting someone. But then you get to spend not just 30 minutes with someone praying with them, but you get to spend hours with someone, praying with them and giving the Lord a chance to reveal things to them. We had a guy with us that was part of our team last time, and it took him a little while to understand what we were doing and how we were doing it, and he pretty soon he began to get into it, began to pray in the Spirit a lot. The Lord began to show him things about the person we were praying for, and sure enough, they were confirmed and right on and what they needed. He was high as a kite when we finished that session because he was just so excited. Well, he was so excited about what was going on and how the Lord was using him and how the Lord was revealing to the person we were praying for. And he was just ecstatic over what God was doing. This is inner healing. God is doing, I think, a new thing in inner healing. He's ready to heal folks, mend broken hearts, and not do it over 5 years of counseling, but 5 minutes of prayer. That's what I think he wants to do. And he's proving that over and over again. Now, the bishop was talking this morning about how one of the most debilitating things that affects us Christians is carrying around chronic condemnation, carrying around guilt and shame and remembering all the things that we did wrong and rehearsing those in our minds, etc. And when, as he said, when God heals us, when God forgives us, he not only washes the sin away as if it was never there, he not only forgets it, but he does something else that most of us have a hard time understanding and wrapping our mind around it.
So let me tell my story, and I'll tell you.
I will. And it's that he brings us back to a place where we are innocent.
Yeah.
Completely, absolutely, totally innocent. And this is, remember I was talking about destructive emotions that get stuck? And it seems like the easiest way to deal with those is to pray that the Lord will bubble to the memory of the person those destructive emotions and what they were, the memory of what they were connected to. And then that person has to give that guilt or shame or fear or whatever it is to the Lord and ask the Lord to heal them. And then he comes and literally takes it out of their mind. Why don't you tell about how we learned about that?
Well,
this is back in the Stone Age.
This was probably in the 70s or early 80s. You know, there was a lot of inner healing going on then with Betty Tapscott and some others that were doing some inner healing ministries. But I had a lot of guilt. I had done things in my past before I met Dan and stuff, and I was a renegade, and so I just, you know, had a lot of memories that when I would think about them, I would cringe. Things that I did or things that people did to me, I'd feel guilty about that too. And so for a week, the Lord was waking me up every night with three things that would happen that had happened to me or
we
that I did.
Three different times. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, three different things each night.
Yeah, I knew because she would wake me up every time. So.
And the Lord told me to pray that the guilt be gone. And I didn't understand what he meant exactly by that, but I did. And so when a picture would come in my mind and I'd cringe and I'd say, well, let the guilt be gone. Let the guilt be gone for that person and for me or that thing, that situation or whatever. And it would, it's not that I don't remember those things, but it faded. All the emotion went with it. And I didn't have that emotion associated with it anymore. So that happened three things a night for a week. And at the end of the week, the last night, the Lord showed me a vision of a girl in a casket. And I walked up to the casket, and it was me. And he said, well, that was Deborah. That was a girl named Deborah that did all those things, or that things happened to her. But that's not you. You're a new creature. And this is you standing beside the casket, new, fresh, whole. And that's, I was set free from those emotions. I don't have guilt about my past anymore or anything. Because, you know, people all have pasts. But
some of us more than others.
Yeah, well, he was a goody two shoes all his life. So
he makes fun of me. She said he thought about getting drunk once, but he didn't.
Never did. Yeah, I did. But anyway, so that was how we learned about how God could really take those emotions away.
And since then, we've been able to guide lots of folks into that same path. And while we're standing there in a prayer line, praying for them, Lord, bring to their memory some of these things. He will bring it up, and they'll give it up to him then, and they will, he'll sit there, and he'll actually heal them right then and set them free. And then we pray that he'll continue that process as they're going on, that night, and next week, whatever it is. And we've seen lots of folks set free and healed in that way. Of that.
Another thing, how many know the word licentious, what it means? Does everybody know what the word means?
Give us a quick definition.
Licentious.
Licentious.
Who doesn't know what it means? I want to see the hands of those that don't know. Okay, well, I didn't know. The Lord, and the Lord woke me up one night, and he said, take care of the licentious spirit. And I'm going, I woke Dan up and I said, what's licentious? And he said, look it up in the dictionary. So anyway, I did. And but that's another thing. God gives you words and thoughts and stuff that you don't even understand sometimes, just to heal you.
Yep, that's right.
So licentious, by the way, is trying to get away with something. Paraphrased here, you know, like if you're driving down the street and you're speeding and you see a cop, you slow down. You're not slowing down because it's the righteous thing to do. It's because you're going to get caught if you don't slow down. That's licentious.
Licentious is I do what's right only.
Only if I'm caught, yeah.
Not because I'm doing what's right. So do we have a couple more minutes? Another story or two? Y'all ready to go? Take a nap. Other story.
One more story.
One more story. Yes.
I would think that anybody who gets involved in healing ministries would have areas where they would think, oh, no, don't have to pray for this. You know? But there's that on our part, and how do we get over that?
Uh-huh.
You mean like praying for the lady in the wheelchair in Brazil? Like, oh, God, no. You know, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah.
And then you get over yourself and say, well, it's Jesus, not me.
There's
anyway.
There's
an app
for that. Really, the Lord has challenged us to pray for cancer.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for people that have cancer. I want to pray for them because I know that God is challenging us to.
Enemy number one.
Yeah. And I know the Lord is challenging us to pray for folks with cancer so they'll be healed. I know he's going to do that. Okay. And you just have to get over yourself. But we all go through those kinds of doubts and fears, and you just have to remember, well, it's not me anyway, okay? I'm gonna suit up and show up and do what he tells me to do. And if this is the one he wants me to pray for, I'm going to pray for him with all my heart, mind, and soul, and then it's up to God to take care of the rest of it.
And by the way, that lady did get up out of the wheelchair. You weren't here when we talked about it, I don't think. She got up out of the wheelchair and walked. Yeah.
Well, we've seen lots of folks. We haven't seen anybody raised from the dead.
We have, sort of.
That little girl was almost dead, maybe.
Well, people were coming off their deathbeds when we were at the airport,
true.
Too, though.
Yeah.
We didn't see it, but we were...
Yeah. So... sometimes, you remember I talked about spiritual healing, sometimes spiritual healing can involve healing of relationships or reconciliation. We were in a little schoolhouse in Uganda, I think it was, praying for folks, and a young woman came up to us for prayer. How can we pray for you? Well, my husband doesn't talk to me.
And hasn't talked to me for a year.
And hasn't talked, yeah. How long have you been married?
1 year.
Okay, now, Father, this is one where you go, yeah, how in the world are you going to pray? What? This is,
what
really
marriage?
You're praying for this one? Oh, man. And so I just felt like we need to get somebody else to help us pray for this one, right? And I looked around, and there was a guy standing up where Tripp is, up against the wall, about that far away.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a good guy to help us pray. Come over here, help us pray for this lady.
She said, that's my husband.
When he gets over here, yeah. Well, needless to say, Debbie spent a little time helping this boy understand.
I said, what is wrong with you? You don't talk to your wife? He said, well, that's just the way I am. I said, Dan says, get over yourself. He said that. I didn't.
Occasionally, yeah. But really, as we begin to pray for them, one of the things that God has allowed us to do lots of times is pray over couples and to see real reconciliation and real change happen. And that's what happened with them. And the Lord just led and guided us in how to talk to them, how to pray with them. And as we began to pray with them, the Lord began to move. And they began to cry, and they began to
forgive
and hold each other. We had them talking to each other about forgiving each. You know, you need to say this out loud now, and those kinds of things.
And they were hugging and holding hands. And, you know, in Africa, in Uganda, and they don't show that kind of public touching and stuff. So it was amazing.
Yes.
Let me tell you a good Dan story.
Uh-oh.
This place, those of you who get to go, or if you're so into life to Azamores,
or if you're part of the intercessory prayer team.
These teams are so important that when we went to this one place in Bazooka, that may have been where you talked about. We, probably a mile and a half before we got to the village, it was sort of a big, almost like a little town.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many people just came out of nowhere, sort of.
With branches.
Long branches and batteries.
Oh, yeah.
And led us for a mile or several miles into this place we were going, like a procession down this road. And when we got there, it was a big stage, and all kind of speakers and dignitaries and that were there. And we prayed. We probably saw, we saw a lot of people.
Yes.
Hundreds.
And but on the stage, Father Dan is sitting up there. And it took faith beyond what I had to get up on that stage. There was an imam who was part of the ceremony. And they just invite everybody to come. And so we're going to go, so we start to break up and go pray for people, get in our lives, and Dan looks over this guy and said, I believe the Lord is telling me that you've had a headache for a while now. And it's been going on for a while. And what was there, another part to that?
Yeah, I started off saying, I just felt like the Lord said, you've got a headache. And he said, yes.
Well, first Dan... The Lord told him to go pray for this guy, and Dan said, no, I don't think so. And he was going to walk away.
Bishop's calling us. He's telling us the teams are supposed to get up there. That's my excuse.
But he did talk.
But anyway, then I asked him, and I said, I feel like the Lord says you've had this headache for a long time. He said, yes, I have.
Yeah, he first asked him, do you have a headache? Yes, I thought it was yes. I believe he's had this headache for a long time. The guy goes, yes. And Dan said, well, the Lord said, if you'll let me pray for you, he'll heal you.
Yeah.
And he said, no.
Right.
I can't let you pray
so
for me.
So blew away. Dan read his mail. Mm-hmm. That's one of the fun things. So I want to say to those of you, because there are other groups you can go with, I can promise you this, you can't go anywhere less cheaper than what we do, because we don't make any money off the trips. Mm-hmm. See, some ministries, and it's not a bad thing, their ministries are so expensive, you go on a trip, they charge you extra because they make money off taking people. They need to do that. But we don't make a penny off of the trip. So you just pay what you gotta pay, and hopefully you get to bring some back, money back. And but one of the best things you can do is to sign up for one of these trips, because you'll learn more about healing ministry.
Absolutely.
You'll pray for hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
You personally will see hundreds of people personally.
Right.
And you lay hands on them. Yep. That's one of the reasons we do these trips.
Well, we noticed years and years ago, we'd take people into Mexico for healing, for trips, and they would see God move through them. They'd come back charged, like, oh, God used me. And then they were in their communities and in their churches on fire. And it's a ripple effect.
Telling about the disappointment with that imam, though, reminds me that we don't always get it right. And like I said, we've been praying for the sick for 41 years. And in Brazil, I'll tell an embarrassing story on me. And this happened, it's not like this doesn't happen on a fairly regular basis, unfortunately. So we're praying for folks. It was in Caruaru. And boy, they had some young people there. They were charged up and fired up. And boy, was God moving. I mean, you'd start praying for them, and the Holy Spirit would just fall on them, and they'd be speaking in tongues and vibrating and all kinds of good things. The Lord would have words for them. And as I'm praying for this kid, and he's just shaking and crying, and the Lord's really moving on him. And the thought comes to me, I need to tell him that the Lord's going to show him how much He's going to use him by doing something special at school. And
he wasn't in school.
And then I thought, maybe I better approach this the way the bishop says. And I said, I asked him if he was in school. He said, no. So I thought, sure, I was hearing from God. But I didn't. And you know what? That's... Like I said, I wish I could tell you that's only happened once in 41 years.
Yeah, right.
That probably only, but it only happens maybe a couple of times each trip, okay? Or each ministry. It's just, we're not perfect. We're not ever going to be perfect, and we've just got to be.
One thing's for sure, you know, if you're afraid to go for it, if you're afraid you're going to fail or look down,
yep.
You'll never see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Story, and then just, you know, the next day, we went to a place called Bukukwana. That's where the little girl Rose was 15, who was told the body got killed. But also, one of the good parts of the story, the king of the Twa had a pig. And they're very respected, they're a very powerful kingdom in that area, very fierce. And the king of Twa, literally got out of his translator, he got saved.
Yep.
He got a fellow spirit.
Amen.